as I said, I'm calling this tonight Faith and Confidence. And it opens up here, and it's because it's saying that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. So we're shown here that you can have a confidence with what God has promised and revealed in His word. And this confidence can also mean absolute assurance. You are persuaded. You are influenced. You are encouraged. So that with that which you read, you have absolute confidence that whatever we ask of Him, He hears us. Now, that is tremendous. So we're not only told to have faith, to believe in God, Hebrews 11:6, because without it we don't please God, but we're also sure that our faith works a confidence, an assurance in and through us. And this is should really encourage us. And I want us also, with this, coupled with this, to look also in Romans 4:19. In Romans 4 and 19. Which speaks about Abraham. And in this, it says here in verses 19 to 21, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, in those three verses, we can read those many, many times, but that is actually showing us what our faith should be, and if we keep with this, what it will come to. Remember the title I'm calling this, Faith and Confidence. Let's just read this again from verse 19. And being not weak in faith, so you can be weak in the faith. And we're shown here that Abraham was not. He was strong in the faith. And that should be our confession, our desire, what we want with God. Lord, whatever it takes, make me a man, a woman, strong in the faith. So he says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100. Now, you know, you've got to be walking by faith. You've got to have your eyes so set upon the Lord that you're not really considering your own body, which is slowly dying every day. And here he is at the age of 100, about to father a son. You think about it. That's how much his faith was influencing him. And we really need to learn this. So he didn't consider his own body now when he was about 100 years old, not only for himself, but being head, which he was to be, he considered not even his wife, who was 90 odd, not also too old in which to conceive. So he's really a man of faith, knowing that nothing is impossible with God. But here we get it, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, James says he, what is James puts it, didn't waver, wasn't tossed to and fro. He wasn't actually put off, perturbed in a way by God's promise and God's and what God had promised here. He wasn't at all bothered. He was at such a place of faith with God. God had said it. That's good enough. Fair enough. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the faith I'm pressing in for. Mm-hmm. I really, really am. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And what does the strength of faith do? Gives glory to God. Mm-hmm. And that's what it does. And that's why God mm-hmm. gave us the faith teaching and the deeper life, because this is all about His glory. And so this strong faith that doesn't stagger at the promises of God, but waxes confident and bolder, because that is what it should do. Every time we hear the word, every time we read the promises of God and we hear those promises, we should be waxing bolder, more confident, stronger in the faith. The problem is that we don't sometimes allow and let the Holy Spirit do that. There's still that area, yes, Lord, but you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I am going through, and I am battling in these areas. There we are, we're limiting God, because we're putting our own circumstances against God's promises. And Abraham didn't do that. He walked by faith. We clearly see that. He didn't in any way use his age as an excuse. He didn't say to the Lord, well, Lord, here I am, 100 years old, my wife 90, and you're saying that we can have a son. We're not going to live much longer to enjoy him, are we? He didn't even allow any logic or anything to get in the way. He knew that God would give him longevity. He knew God hadn't made any mistakes. He didn't raise up any questions, try to question, fathom, or work it out like we still do. You say to me, well, I'm not sure that I do that. Yes, you do in your trials. The moment your trials come, you come up with the logic, and you come up with 101 reasons why God can't do it. Why he can't do it. And that's why he allows us to go through these trials in order to purge us, so that we can get rid of what weakens us, that keeps us with a weak faith, so that we can have this strong faith that glorifies God. Amen. So the nature of believing then is without this sense realm, feeling, intellectualism, working it out. We don't want sense evidence, which causes one to go in unbelief. But the nature of believing faith without sense evidence causes one to wax stronger and confident. And that's what it does. So our faith also needs that confidence, that assurance, that waxing bolder and stronger. So your faith isn't actually it. This faith that will open heaven to the greater works of this last day. That God will honor and glorify his name. Because we know faith, as it was for Abraham, as it will be for this last day outpouring, will be for the glory of God's name. Amen. You see, our faith and belief is on the very best evidence that you could ever have in this life, and that is upon the Word of God. One, not only is it based on the best evidence you will ever have in this life, but it's also based on the fact that He cannot lie with this evidence that we receive and have here and read. Let's just glean from that from Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And he says here, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. So all these promises that God has given were all given even before the world, because they always have been. The promises of God always have been. God's faithfulness always has been. Everything that we receive, everything that we read, everything that we learn from God always has been. Hallelujah. Now, the interesting thing about this is, and I was quite sort of interested when thinking and reading and studying this through, and I've got this bracketed. Faith from God's perspective is rational, and no other evidence is needed. So God doesn't need to be persuaded. It is the absolute norm. It is part of God and is God, faith to believe. So he doesn't need anything to convince him. He doesn't need any evidence. He doesn't need to try and believe. It is all clear with him because he's the source it comes from. Therefore, we can anchor in absolute assurance upon that. The faith is actually leaning upon God. That's what it means. So we can totally lean upon that fact that there's not a shred of unbelief with God. He's completely convinced. It's just us that he's working with. And so this faith confidence is also to rely and put confidence in God, in him. Now, one of the things that the Lord is teaching us about faith, when you first get saved and you start to embrace the word and get under the teaching and you start to learn the promises of God, don't you? And we take in these promises and we're learning them, and we've learned about faith and the five principles of faith and so on. But as time goes on, and as you start to begin to mature and grow up, you begin to see that faith takes on a bigger field. You know, it's like Brother Freeman taught. He said that it's like that diamond. And that diamond, when held up against light and it slowly turns, it gives out hundreds and hundreds of reflections, facets of light, fragments of light coming from that one source. And he said that's what faith is. And so we learn all the time more and more about faith. But one of the things, and I go back again to Romans chapter 4 again, because I want to just glean something else from this that Abraham was working through. And in Romans 4 and verse 20, he says here again, and I read this again, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, Abraham is 100. Abraham has been walking years with God. He hasn't just suddenly arrived at this. He's been walking years with God, but Abraham is still not yet at the place of offering up his only son on the altar. That's to come later. So we're seeing, even at this stage, he's staggering not at the promises of God, yet we find that his walk of faith even matures to a greater depth and level when God can ultimately get him to sacrifice the very thing that he was believing for. And he said that he staggered not at. So what is this about faith? Well, again, we fix our whole being upon God himself. You see, our faith, our confidence, is also relying upon the nature, the very character and being of God. That God first loved us. And that is why we're crying out, Abba, Father. We're learning about the Father's love, the Father's heart. You see, God will never teach us about faith and not also about himself as well. Now, the way we learn about the Father's heart, that God loves us, and that our faith is about God's love to us, basically, we learn this through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus also said to the disciples, when you see me, you see the Father. So Jesus came in the flesh to present to us the Father, the source of faith. And we need just to bear that one in mind. And so our faith, our confidence, is relying on Jesus himself, that the Father will always give him whatever he asks or petitions before him. And that's why he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Because he came to present the Father to us, faith, which comes from the heart of the Father, so as to minister this faith walk like the saints of old and like Abraham who walked with God as well. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, baptizes us now in the Spirit, and ministers from the throne, the very throne in his presence. He ministers to us by faith the Father's love and heart, so that we can totally rely and be confident in this faith walk. Isn't it wonderful how God is doing this? We see this, let's just look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And here he says here, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here again, the apostle writing to Timothy, he also confidently speaks of this persuasion, this confidence. Now, I believe God is beginning to work that one in this assembly. I know it in my life now. It's like I don't need to run to the scriptures to remind me of what I know God has given me. It's like I know it. And I'm now being persuaded, influenced by. Yes, of course we open up the word, don't get me wrong, but when we were first young, we got saved, we, you know, any trial come and oh boy, we got to open up the scriptures quick, and we just wanted anybody could have got a scripture for us and just take comfort from that, and I'm with you and I will not forsake you and everything, thank you Jesus, and so forth. And praise God, it's absolutely right, it was right for us. But you notice God's not working like that. Now, yes, he can give the word, and he does give the word, but he's moving us beyond that, because he's working within us. This word that we've been having over these years should now build a confidence, a persuasion, that you don't need to keep coming to me, Lord, will you be faithful? Will you answer? Will you do this? He wants us to know that he will, period. So he's almost saying to you, what is your problem? You know? We can all bow our heads in shame, can't we? But can you not see this is what God is getting us to do as we're growing up now? He says, I do love you. You know, you see, the nearest analogy I can give is in a relationship sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you read it, and a wife comes up, and she'll say sometimes, I just wish he would tell me sometimes he loves me. It'd be just nice to hear it. But you see, men think, why do I have to say it? I do. you know? I mean, what's your problem, you know? And that's how we're different, you see. But you can glean something from that. We do that with God. You know, Lord, just confirm to me you promise you're going to heal me. Or, you know, I think I'll just pray this again because I might not just said it right theologically. That's the excuse that we're using. But what's really behind that is I really want God to hear, as if he's deaf. You know, we've all done it. We've all done it. I want to come to a place where my faith is God has heard me before I even pray. Because he knows everything. And he knows exactly what I'm going to pray. And sometimes I get before him and say, Lord, I'm going to open my mouth in a minute, but it's not going to take you by surprise. You know everything I'm going to say. Now one could then sit back and say, well, what's the point of saying it? No, because faith is also speaking. It's also verbal, you see. So don't fall for that one. But that is what the Holy Spirit is doing. Now, some of you may be finding, now hear me for what I'm saying. Hear me for what I'm saying. But you're finding that you're not always running and opening up the scriptures and always wanting to read them. What's happening with us now? We're finding ourselves praying more, speaking in the Spirit more, just talking with him, just interceding if we see something, and so on. I'm finding that that's happening more now with me. Of course the word is there, and we're mightily blessed. We come under this anointing, we hear that anointed word. But God is getting us to grow up because he's working with us where our faith is so confident, so convinced that we just, you don't have to remind me, Lord. You don't have to tell me, unless you want to. But I don't change because I'm totally convinced and influenced that what you have promised, which is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, you will perform and you will do it for your glory. That's why the centurion surprised Jesus and he marveled at it. And he turned to Israel and the disciples and said, look, you lot should be like that. There you've got a glimpse of faith persuaded and confident, you see. Now, God will work this. He will bring us to that place. Now, as I said to you, Abraham, he's at that place ready to have his son. Yet, we see later on that faith within him, which is still growing and maturing, is a faith that is willing to sacrifice, if need be. So there are many, many aspects to our faith that we walk by. And so we obviously believe in salvation. None of us are still running to the scriptures. Lord, just give me a scripture to tell me that I am saved. You know? Of course you're not. Thank God you've moved on. Thank God you're moving and resting in faith. That rest of faith. But there are some Christians who never moved beyond that. And they still have to run back. They still want a scripture. Lord, just tell me I am eternally saved and so on. They're actually held in torment and unbelief. And never mature and never move on. And we have so many in churches that are like that today. But praise God what he's doing with us. The way he's getting us to mature and grow up in this. And so you see, we not only believe and just are confident and relying on the fact that yes, by his mercy and grace, we are saved, but we have that confidence for salvation for our loved ones because it's promised in the Word of God. Yes, I know they're getting worse, some of them. Yes, I know they're getting more rebellious. It seems as though they're moving further away from God. Doesn't matter. God has promised. I am influenced, I am persuaded, and I don't need anything. He or she can get up to what they want, but as far as I'm concerned, they're saved in Jesus' name. And their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And then we come to the healing one. That's one God's working with us. We know what's going on in the assembly. But God's going to bring every one of us to that place where we're completely persuaded that by stripes we were healed at Calvary. And that we just don't put our ears to this, that, you know, one in every 10 is going to have cancer and all this business. There's demons behind that. Absolutely. And so we're becoming persuaded now, influenced, that by his grace, his mercy, I was healed at Calvary. Hallelujah. He's rooting out that unbelief. And that he renews our youth as the eagles. And whatever our age, and it spans in this assembly, doesn't matter. It doesn't change God's promises. And then what about blessings? Abraham's blessings are ours. We sang it on Sunday. I'm persuaded by it. God is going to bless. The very same faith that blessed Abraham is the very same faith of today through Jesus Christ. In fact, how much more? Now we're under greater and better promises. How much more? None of us should be impoverished. We're in a place and should be in a place where we help out. We can give out generously because we know where the source comes from. I'm persuaded. I'm not going to even think about it because the blessings come from God. And yet in the early days, oh Lord, just tell me that you love me. You're going to bless me. Lord, I've started out in this. Lord, I really need blessing in this and so forth. As if God doesn't want to bless. His whole nature is to bless. That is his heart. It's the devil that tries to rob us from these blessings. And of course, to prosper. Of course it's right to prosper as believers. And the reason being is because in that prosperity, others can be blessed as well. But we know all about prosperity. We've given much teaching, talking about it over the years, that prosperity is never for you to gloat over and get fat on. That's never what God blesses us for. But we walk a prosperous walk. God has promised. You don't have to take second best. Again, we rely on it. We look to God on it. We count it as done. God will do it. I'm not even going to question. And there are many, many other areas of our faith. Our faith has got to believe for forgiveness. When times we have missed it, we have sinned. You still got to be in faith for that. And it's a faith where you are broken, you are grieved, and this is not what you want. That's the sort of forgiveness, which is a turning around. Not just, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm in faith, and thank you for forgiving me. And you go off, and in 24 hours again, you do the same thing. That's not what I'm talking about. Then there's a faith that persists, that endures. The same as Christ endured to the end, the cross. That's ultimately the endurance that we should have, is Christ's endurance in me, the hope of glory. That he endured to the end. Again, faith, to believe. I'm persuaded, I'm confident that God started this work. He will complete and finish it in my life, this race. And I rely on it. I'm looking to him. I know it will be. And I don't need any proof texts. How God's going to do it, I'm not going to work that one out. But he will. And our confession. How the devil tries to attack our confession, does he not? Huh? There doesn't go a day, does there, when something comes out of our mouth that we have to just get under the blood of Jesus. But again, our faith comes right back in confidence. God is going to work on this confession for his glory. I don't know how. In the natural, it's impossible. But I know he will. And I believe it. I'm persuaded that my confession will line up with his confession, his word. That's what it means. How about this one that we don't talk much about? Protection. protection. That God has protected me. God has given his angels charge over me. God protects me when I go out and when I come in. He protects me from the evil one, from temptations. He protects me from sickness, disease. It is a full and complete protection. Even a life assurance couldn't give you that. No way. But God can, and you can be totally assured of that. Again, he wants us to be completely confident, totally relying, absolutely assured that I am protected, I am kept by Almighty God. Rest in it. Hallelujah. So you see, as believers or the church, we believe in the prayer of faith. We believe in intercession, supplication. All of this we pray for and are praying for. So in our prayers, our intercessions, as the Holy Spirit anoints and as he leads, we're absolutely confident, assured that God has heard us today as we pray, both individually and corporately, when you get into your own closet as well. God wants you to leave your closet absolutely assured that it's been answered, without you ever getting up and leaving with a doubt of unbelief. If you've got a doubt of unbelief, you have not prayed that day. You've not prayed properly, not as you should do. I believe that the power and the anointing will fall in this last day, that will meet everything that we encounter, the needs around us, with this church, both individually and corporately, because without the power and the anointing, it is hopeless. It can never be achieved. And I'm persuaded, I'm influenced, I know that God will and is going to do it. Because I cannot believe that God has brought me 36 years thus far, getting me to believe a lie. And I'm not even going to, Satan, you know, I tell you how the devil comes up with me. He tries to work it logically. You need to go back in some of your theology. You see, because you weren't quite in that place, and because, you know, you weren't really believing properly, therefore at that time, when you received the deeper life teaching and everything, you weren't actually in the perfect will of God, you were in the permissive will of God. You see, he's tried to use that one on me, to twist it, so you need to go back and look over some things so that you can now get into the perfect will of God. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's how he's tried to work that one with me. I've said right at the beginning, no, Father, you're a Father of love. When you saved me in your power, your blessing, your anointing, and everything. And if I need to have to go back and find out where I've gone wrong to get back into the permissive will of God, that doesn't give you glory. And that doesn't tell me you are God. And therefore I choose to resist that. And I settle it. That is why I have been persuaded and influenced right through my walk with the deeper life teaching, the faith teaching, and boy, have we had opposition. Have we had those who criticize, come against us? There are times when you think, are we right? Have we got it wrong? Everything. And I come right back to that simple, basic faith principle, God first loved me and he's made no mistake. And he just opens up the word and simply confirms it, confirms it, confirms it, confirms it. That's how you test a thing over the years. Why doubt it? All the while you're still doubting it, you are not influenced, you are not confident, therefore you can't move on to the next thing. You see? So let's rest in it. God is in absolute complete control. And if anything did go wrong or offline, the discernment, the anointing is there. He's done it in the past. He'll do it in the future. He's in complete control. He knows what he's doing. That is why the wonderful thing about this now, as I bring it to its conclusion and close, the wonderful, wonderful thing about this is I don't have to go running off elsewhere. What a relief. What a blessing. What a deliverance. Because I see so many running here, running there, utterly confused, don't know what to believe. Thank God I don't have to do that. That influences me, gives me confidence, if you like. Because that's the Father's love. The Father never makes mistakes. Believe for the very best, because if you can't get the very best from God, who can you get it from? Hallelujah. And finally, we have that faith and rest and confidence over the powers of darkness themselves, and that is the very devil. The devil cannot touch you or I. Christ has overcome, and we're told in the word he's overcome the powers of darkness and Satan himself, and he's now under his feet serving him. So the nature of Satan now is actually a servant to the overcomer, to the bride. Now you need to start confessing that. And you need just to tell him when he starts, Satan, you actually serve now. And that is what I expect. That is what I believe. That is what I'm persuaded. And that is eventually, after you've done your devilish work, I will see you doing, being a servant now as you are. It's up to us. Because Christ has overcome, as you now have overcome by faith. And that is why the powers of darkness, demons, will not be able to stand in the presence of the overcoming army in this last day. Because they know, and he knows, in his nature now, he serves. He's no longer master. He may still be God of this world until he comes, but my Bible tells me he's the God of this world over those whom he's blinded. Unless you are still blinded, he ain't God over you anymore, or me, or this church. Amen? Amen. Amen. So our faith is persuaded. We are influenced. There's a boldness that's attached to that, that we now know that as Christ has overcome all things, so I too overcome all things. Have you got obstacles in your life? Have you got things that seem totally, totally impossible in the natural? Praise God, I hope you have, because that's the means of you, those mountains that God uses to get you to be totally confident and persuaded that God is able. Did Abraham have not the same thing? At 100 years old? Of course he did. That's quite some mountain, that is. And so, overcomers will begin to actually, in a sense, praise and get excited about these mountains. Praise God, it's impossible! Look at the size of this mountain! I'm excited! Because I'm persuaded that that is going to be removed. And it will. It cannot stay there. Satan is a liar. I just leave it there. Don't try to analyze it. Don't just try and say, oh, well, I was hoping he was going to go tomorrow after that big confession. Don't even think about it, because it's going to go. And it will go in God's right time for his glory. I can assure you those mountains will never stay there a split second any longer than God has purposed it to be there for his glory. The moment he decrees it, he speaks it, it's gone. It's gone. That, brothers and sisters, is our faith. Faith and confidence. So it's not just a faith, but it's a faith that is also confident, persuaded, influenced, a boldness. Tenacity, words you can add with that. That I don't even need to be told. I don't You know, if somebody comes up, oh, I just want to encourage you and give you, you know, a message just to help you in the faith. Praise God. That's a blessing. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. But you didn't really need it anyway. Because you are already persuaded, influenced. And I don't need to run always to this. To tell me that God loves me and he will provide in this life. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately what he's getting us to. So that these promises are now living in us. It's a part of us. Mm-hmm. It's become us in that sense. Because we're one with God. We're one with the Godhead in one flesh, that spiritual union, that bond. Well, if you're one with God, you're one with this. And this is part of you as well, because you can't separate the word. Amen? Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you again tonight. Lord, how we needed to hear this. Just do it, Father, whatever it takes. Lord, we're coming to that place. The bride, the overcomers are marching forward, and nothing is stopping us, Lord, because you have decreed, you have gone before, and you have prepared the way. And Lord, we're entering a land now fully to possess, that only saints in the part in Israel only partially possessed. Lord, we praise and we thank you for this. And no giant, no demon, whatever, powers of darkness will hinder, will stop, are marching forward, because the promises of God are in our hearts, in our lives, in our confession, in our very being, our very fiber. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, tonight for this message. I pray that it will bless all the saints who come in, Lord. And I pray you'll bless our brothers and sisters, Father. Be with us, preserve us, keep us, Lord, as you promise. Until we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.